It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
All the way to the finish line. How you doing, Will?
So, my job fired a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. It was inevitable that he would lose his job. You know, he had some issues.
Some.
But they hired this guy to replace him. And I got some problems with this guy.
It's not a racial thing, right?
It's not a racial thing. Not like all the others that I work with, those people. He brags about how physically fit he is. He's like a know-it-all, and he brags about how physically fit he is, and like, oh, and I work out, and I do this, and I do that. And he's got a fucking handicap placard on his car, and he's parking around Los Angeles, like, free of charge of parking meters, and I called him out, and apparently he had, like, 25% of one of his lungs removed, and they gave him, like, a, and you want to know what?
And he gets a free pass.
Yeah, I don't like this. He's walking across, he's like, does he get winded walking across a mall parking lot? I don't think so, buddy. You should have to park with the rest of us schmucks. Or at least don't say then you're so physically fit. He can't have it both ways. And this is what annoys me. The hypocrisy of this guy.
And this guy didn't quite make it to enemy status, but just enough to piss you off.
Well, let's see who the enemy is next week.
You know? Things are a little light. We may be circling back to this
story.
Yeah,
we maybe get back to this.
So
I got some other things.
Tell him that you know, you want to borrow it or rent it from him.
I don't want to do it. Because then I'm a hypocrite. I can't be a hypocrite.
I'll borrow it from him.
Well, that's
I got
different.
No problem.
Yeah, you're a piece of crap. So how are things in Wilshawn Podcast land?
Things are going well. Thank you to all our new listeners, everyone who listened to the Siri episode last week. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope you've stuck around for the newest adventures of the Wilshawn Podcast. Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, all the places.
I'd like to point out something about the Facebook. Yes. We have gone backwards in likes. We're losing likes. People are taking the effort to unlike us. We were like right at 200 likes, and then ba-boom, we lost likes.
I think that's just me. I did it on purpose.
You son of a bitch.
Just trying to put a little fire under the toes.
Keep me on my toes.
That's it. But everyone, just, you know, do the thing, tell the people, share the love.
Like us on Facebook.
Yes.
Do it. And who is our sponsor this week?
This week's episode, Will, is brought to you by Thoughts and Prayers, for when you want to appear sympathetic, but don't actually plan on doing anything. The Wilshawn Podcast sends out its thoughts and prayers.
I'm glad we did that, because we bought Thoughts and Prayers and sent them out.
You know what? I think we saved the world a little bit.
I think we did, too. I thought of donating blood, but then I said, why do that when I could just think? To an imaginary
character.
No,
what I do. You fill up a baggie with some blood, and you just mail it to the Red Cross. They'll get it in like 3 to 5 days.
On the show this week, Scary Movie 5 came out. I'm sure it was awful. MTV's still doing a movie awards. Who knew? And The Enemy are two singers in a region where one of them is from. but first on the show, I'm very excited to have. He's a very funny man, very funny stand-up comic, and I meant to ask you right before we started, because I've been butchering your last name, I'm sure, and goddammit, I forgot to double-check. Matt
Ingebretson.
Ingebretson. Matt Ingebretson.
Ingebretson.
On last week's episode, when we plugged you, Siri, who is from a Scandinavian origin, when she heard your name, goes, oh, it's a Scandi.
Oh, yeah.
So she was very excited.
She does look Scandinavian.
Yeah, she comes from Viking stock, that one does.
Yeah, me too. We're better than the rest of you people.
Do you also have a handicap placard?
No, but I do have asthma. And I'm
you probably
physically
have,
fit.
You probably have more right to the handicap placard with asthma.
I would like a handicap placard. Because I'm lazy. I don't know. I actually kind of enjoy walks from the back of parking lots to the store. It's like sometimes I count that as my exercise for the day.
Honestly, sometimes I park extra far away from places just so I can get more exercise.
People are both stupid. I will circle in my car burning gas until I find a spot that is closest to the door. And then when I do find the spot, I find that I'm incapable of getting into the spot because I have Parkinson's. Rim shot.
Oh.
Does it pick up?
So, Matt, let's take a step back. Where are you from?
Growing mostly in Texas, in southeast Texas, in a town called Lake Jackson.
Okay.
About 25,000 people. It exists because Dow Chemical built a plant nearby and needed a place to put their workers, so they put some houses.
So the lake is not actually water. It's just runoff from the chemical plant?
To my knowledge, there is no lake. It was a weird choice to name it Lake Jackson.
It was to fool everybody.
Versus just Jackson, potentially. I don't understand. There was a myth that I heard growing up that Dow Chemical actually drained a swamp on top of the town, because it is a very swampy area. I don't know if that's true, but it's very moist, at least. And then they just put the houses on top of it. But yeah, no lake to my knowledge.
So you grew up in a lie.
I grew up in a lie. Yeah, and it was like a very conservative Christian town, and
ripe for comedy.
Yeah, ripe for comedy. It was like it's definitely a place that it's a depressing place that everyone was like, we're gonna get the hell out of here when we graduate, and then so many people would leave and then come back to it for whatever reason. There's some allure in that place.
But you left.
Yeah, I left.
And you're here in Los Angeles now.
Yeah. For now.
I'll be back.
Until the allure.
Well, 25,000 people, it's like the size of Santa Monica.
I know.
Okay.
No, that's not true. How many is that? 25?
I don't know. I'm just making that
for
up.
For whatever sounds reason, good. It's I feel like a million, but I have no idea if that's correct.
I'll go. I think it's higher. Okay. I don't know if it's a million.
So basically, it's the size of 8 square blocks.
Yeah. No. Well, but it's Texas, so everything is like spread out. So it's like, so Lake Jackson's like the size of Los Angeles, but just everyone's super spread out. That's not exactly true, but basically.
That just sounds depressing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, hopefully you don't go back. Hopefully the allure of Lake Jackson doesn't pull you back in.
In 2 years, I'll be there with 4 children. There's no doubt about that.
Now, how long have you been here in Los Angeles?
3 years now.
And how's it going here?
That's going fine. I feel good about it. I live on the east side, and that feels... I moved here from Austin, I live on the east side, which felt kind of Austin-y when I moved out here. And, I do a lot of stand-up and et cetera, and I feel good about living here.
I was looking over some of your stand-up, very funny stuff, and you produce a comedy show.
Yeah.
Called Art Fuck.
Called Art Fuck.
That's a great name.
Thanks. That's, do you know Dave Ross? Dave Ross is a guy who produces a show called Holy Fuck, which is every Tuesday is the Downtown Independent, and Art Fuck, the theater wanted another show during Art Walk. I feel like this is way too long of an explanation for this, but that's essentially the birth of that, is that Holy Fuck is a main show, Art Fuck is on Art Walk, second Thursday of every month.
Okay.
You gotta wait till Food Week and do Food Fuck.
Food Fuck, yeah. It's a pretty easy gimmick, the names of these shows. Just take whatever basic words and add fuck at the end of it.
Or just take the word fuck and throw any word in front of it.
Yeah. We're going to have a special porn edition called Fuck Fuck.
I like it.
Now, booking, you got to book a lot of comics, I guess, for these shows. You put together a whole show. Like, how many do you have usually each show?
Like 6 or 7.
I have found, because in the last few months we've been trying to have at least one comic on a month, mm-hmm. You know, because they usually make pretty good guests.
Yep.
We'll wait to see when this one's over.
Fingers crossed.
But what I love about them is they seem to be on top of things. They seem to know their schedules, unlike a lot of other guests we book. Probably because it seems like they're also willing to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that a comic is willing. I'll be there at the podcast. Oh, yeah, I'll be there at that show, which is great. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's like I think if you sign up to do stand-up comedy down at the government's office where all of us sign up to do stand-up comedy, you kind of expect it to be like a second job at night. And so just at night, it's like, well, I will go do a vast number of things for free and just drive around town and not a big deal.
Anywhere you get a chance to be funny.
Yeah, exactly.
As a comic, is there anything you wouldn't do? Because you know.
What are you looking at me for?
Last week's guest.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure. Porn.
She won't do anal yet on camera, but that's only for...
I will do anal, but not double penetration anal.
Okay.
I just don't have the elasticity in my...
Well, you gotta train for it.
In the old asshole for double penetration anal. Anything I wouldn't do, probably. Yeah, porn I would.
To be fair, I was just trying to set him up for a joke he had written down, oh. and he fucking blew it. So to be fair, everybody.
Not quite the way our guest last week blows for now.
That was it. There you go. Couldn't save it. We even went over this earlier. But to be fair,
you made the mistake that I pay attention to what I write.
There you go. Well, one thing we didn't want to ask you, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be a couple days removed once this episode comes up, but there was this, you know, this horrible bombing in Boston the other day. And a lot of, you know, there's like, some people think there's a line that shouldn't be crossed.
Right.
Sometimes, even
the
in comedy.
Finish line.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's a good example. Mm-hmm. So how soon do you think as a comic is too soon? Or is there even a line? Can you, like, if you, I don't know if you had a show last night, but if you had a show last night,
yeah.
Do you think it's okay to come out and just start making marathon jokes?
For me, I don't think it's like, you know, obviously, like, you know, the further removed you are from the joke, I think the more crude of a joke you can make. Oh, I'm sorry. The further removed you are from the event,
right.
The more crude of a joke you can make about it. So, like, you can make any joke you want about the Spanish Inquisition, because who gives a shit anymore?
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah. I think, though, that, like, right after something like that happens, and, like, to whatever, you know, period after, I think that it's, as long as it's a well-intentioned joke, I think is kind of the point, that the target is the right person, you know what I mean? I didn't actually kind of stayed away from the internet yesterday, because I, when stuff like that happens, I tend to, I don't like witnessing what the social media reaction to it is typically, because I just find it kind of annoying.
It's also, I'll be honest, I was on Twitter yesterday, and it was kind of just repetitive, and it was kind of the thoughts and prayers
thing. It's shallow, and it's just really, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Level celebrity, you know, the universe is a better place because you took a second to tweet.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I think, like, yesterday was a confusing thing because we don't know, to my knowledge, who did this, right?
No.
It's still up in the air. So
I mean, we might by the time this comes up, but yeah, as of right now, no.
Right, so it's like, so if you're going to make a joke, I think it, if you're going to make a joke about something tragic, you should make it at the expense of the right thing and not at the, maybe the victims of the tragedy would potentially be, in my opinion. My second thought would be, like, on some level, I don't care that much, as long as you're not, like, hurting somebody with your comedy. I don't think it matters that much. Well, but generally, I do think as long as you're making the joke at the expense of the right person, which would be, like, potentially the bombers, whoever they are, then I don't think it matters.
And I guess also each comic, I mean, I'm asking you here, but I mean, I guess he's also each comic is different what their barometer is going
to
be.
Well, for example, you know, Anthony Jeselnik, who's always quick to tweet just one cutting tweet about some death or horrific
act. Right.
He was right on the ball yesterday.
What
did
he tweet?
Oh, what was it? It was, there are some lines that shouldn't be crossed, and,
especially the finish line, or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, my issue is that I'm very empathetic, and so when something like this happens, I actually internalize it and feel it very deeply, and it really disturbs me.
Yeah.
But the way I process and cope with it is through jokes. I'm the worst person to have at a funeral.
Right.
Because I'm sitting in the back, literally, just shtick the whole time.
Yeah.
So, yesterday I had all these jokes and I couldn't do anything with them because I knew I'd get eviscerated if I tweeted them. So I was texting Will all day long these terrible jokes.
Yeah. They were pretty funny. If he was tweeting, he would have been killing it on Twitter. But
what I do, I will say that the thing that I find as frustrating, as annoying as bad jokes about a tragedy are the reaction to bad jokes about a tragedy. And, like, I just think that, I don't know. And that's why I don't like going on Twitter the day after something like that happens, because I hate both. Typically the shitty jokes that are made about it, and then also the people harassing the people who made those shitty jokes.
Yeah.
Well, there's the third estate, which is someone like Patton Oswalt, who dashed off a very heartfelt letter about his thoughts and feelings. I don't know that it was... What am I trying to say here? Do we feel that it was appropriate that this comedian is writing something... Do you know what I'm trying to go here?
I think something, though, is...
Very quick.
But he's also, he's a talented guy. A lot of people do listen to him on Twitter. I think
he's thoughtful.
Yeah, I think he's a thought... I mean, now we're just getting into, well, I think this person's thoughtful, so they're allowed to, and this other person who only thinks they're thoughtful.
Right.
So it's like, it's all a matter of, it's all subjective. But, I had no problem with Patton Oswalt, but it's probably because I like Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
So...
And, I mean, I think, like, he's somebody who at this point is, a lot of people probably look to him as, like, someone who they, you know, get their thoughts from, essentially. Like, Louis C.K., so many people just, like, whatever he says, they, and it, for good reason, a lot of times, like, digest, and then that is now their new kind of, like, life philosophy.
Well, I was about to say that I'm curious to watch tonight's Daily Show. They didn't air last night, Daily Show and Colbert Report, to see how they approach happened yesterday.
Well, I watched how, like, Conan and Jimmy Kimmel and Craig Ferguson all handled it.
I go to Craig Ferguson for, you know, my moral compass.
But, I mean, they all felt the need, because you do have, like, if this podcast were a... like a morning radio show. Yeah. We would have to address it in some manner. And, you know, I remember, it's weird because I remember after 9/11, I always used to listen to the sports radio station in New York, WFAN.
Yeah.
And even after 9/11, I actually took more solace listening to the sports guys talking about it than other people just because I listened to them every day. So, but... you know, they also weren't cracking jokes about it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you read... did you ever read The Onion that came out right after 9/11?
If I did, it was so long ago.
That's, like, a great example of, like, every joke in there was, like, directed at the right person, like, sensitive to what happened, but also making fun of it. You should go look it up.
Their headline this morning was, "Man is getting tired of rushing home to hug his wife and children every day."
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the joke there is that... there are an enormous amount of tragic things that constantly happen. You know what I mean? It's not like...
it's not at the victims, and it's not the situation.
Right.
Wow, so funny. Funny, funny.
this is going
comedy
great.
Podcast.
Well, you know what? Before we move on to some of the pop culture topics that don't involve bombs...
the ones that we throw.
Why don't you tell people where they could see you, where they could find information about you. Give us some plugs.
You can Google Matt Ingebretson and find me on Twitter, and my website is mattingebretson.com, @mattingebretson on Twitter. You can friend me on Facebook if you want to. I'll be your friend.
You can poke the shit out of me.
Be your best friend.
Why don't you spell Ingebretson?
Ingebretson.
Good. I mean, maybe everyone knew that, but I am terrible with the name.
And if you're already a good listener, you've already gone on the website and followed him on Twitter and yada, yada, yada.
Because the link to your website is on our Facebook
page.
Oh,
well, thank you
very much.
And
when's the next Art Fuck?
Next Art Fuck will be, what is it? I mean, next month, second Thursday of next month.
Okay. And where do you hold it?
Downtown Independent Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can search that. The best way to find information on that is search Holy Fuck Comedy, and the information for Art Fuck will be on there.
And now I'm assuming on your page is also a link. Somewhere.
Yes, there is. Yep.
Perfect. So just, you know, like you said, just follow him on Twitter, go on Facebook, and you'll get all the information when it happens. Boom.
And if there's another tragedy, you will not hear anything from him, though.
No.
For 48-hour period.
Yeah, and then I'm going to say some horrific things.
Mainly about children.
I'm going to somehow work rape into it.
Well, speaking of being raped, Scary Movie 5 came out this weekend. And it didn't do very well. It got made $15 million. As compared to the fourth one, which made $40 million in its opening weekend. And it got me thinking a lot about spoof movies. Like, I think Airplane is one of, if not the funniest movie ever made. The Naked Gun movies are great. And this is directed by the same man, David Zucker.
Did he direct this one or he wrote it? I think they got some guy to direct Scary Movie 5.
I thought he directed it, but you want to know what? Either way, he's in a position where he's giving lots of interviews about it.
Wait, the guy who made Airplane also made Scary Movie 5?
Yeah, Zucker.
Yes,
David Zucker.
One of the Zuckers.
Also directed Ghost.
No, that's Jerry Zucker.
Oh, he's the legitimate Zucker.
And David Zucker is like the right-wing Zucker.
That's right.
Okay. I was at a screening of Airplane and The Naked Gun, double feature, and I was in the restroom in between. There was this guy standing in the restroom, and everyone who walked in, he'd be like, and this was right after Airplane, he'd be like, "Hey, funny stuff, right? Funny stuff." And people are like, yeah, it was really funny. Yeah. Uh-huh. He goes, "Yeah, still holds up. And I'm like, "Who is this fucking guy?"
Yeah.
And then I go back to my seat, and then they do a Q&A in between, and it was fucking David Zucker. He was hanging out in the men's room. And now here's the thing.
So if you didn't say yes, he would have done things to change your mind.
I mean, in fairness, after I do a stand-up set, I walk directly into the audience and say, "That was funny, right? You guys thought that was funny?"
Yeah.
Tell me you thought it was funny.
Please. Hold on. My parents are on speed dial.
Tell my mom you thought it was funny. I swear to God.
I'm from Texas. I will shoot you.
Well, my question is this. What happened to the great spoof movie? Why are they... Because now it just feels like they are literally just recreating scenes from other movies.
And what I like is that these scary movie movies, are the top tier of the crap fest, because there's now Epic Movie and Date Movie.
Yeah.
There's these other two Jews who are
yeah,
making the sub-tier, you know, to the point where the Scary Movie becomes the quality franchise, and then you had the Damon, the Wayans brothers, what are their names?
They had the Haunted House.
They had to do a spin-off and start their own franchise, but yeah, the Spoof movie is dead.
What happened to this?
I mean, I don't know. It is... Well, what's interesting is, like, that Scary Movie 5 bombed, because, like, I would assume that they're still making these because they're blockbuster.
Well, the last
success.
One was.
It was, okay, and so now, maybe they're done now.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to think they can just pass off, like, we're going to recreate a scene from 300, and you'll just laugh. But I guess people do? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I guess I'm asking an unanswerable question.
I mean, I think that, like, most of the good, like, satire migrated to the internet. And, like, you had a few, probably, and I can't, where was Airplane in the 70s? Was that?
I think it was
1980. At that time, like, there were probably just as many bad spoof movies as there were good ones, and we forgot. Or I don't know
I don't
if that's
think so,
true,
because
actually.
It really created Airplane and then The Naked Gun, or, you know, Police Squad, really created a genre. But
yeah.
I think why those movies worked is because they weren't relying on pop culture. They had a specific comedic tone and a point of view, and they were telling a story, whether it was a cop story or an airplane disaster story, but they were just injecting it with this crazy world that they were laying on top of it, whereas these movies are taking gags and then trying to stitch a plot together around them.
Right.
So yeah. Even like Naked Gun 33 and a Third still had a, you know, a three-act story that it was telling that was populated with crazy.
Well,
and O.J. Simpson.
That's right. And it doesn't get crazier than O.J. Well, let me tell you what. I'm never going to see this movie.
I think we should wait and just do all five. We should just watch them
do
all.
A marathon.
Oh, my God.
Good idea.
I remember thinking the first Scary Movie actually wasn't that bad when I saw it when it came out.
You know, I've actually never seen any of them. But I do remember the general thought when that came out was, this is a fairly good movie.
Yeah.
Or fairly funny, yeah.
But you know, now it's just awful.
You're talking to the guy who's still waiting for History of the World Part 2.
Well, maybe if they did make that, it would be up for an MTV Movie Award.
Nice.
Here we go.
Look at that segue.
Here we go.
Now, we didn't even talk about this last year on the podcast, but, you know, MTV still has their movie awards each year, and they kind of, like, they'll nominate stuff like The Avengers and stuff that, like, the kids like.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was so strange about this this award show this year is they nominated, like, legit people, too. For example, Daniel Day-Lewis was nominated for Best Actor in Lincoln, which was a blockbuster film, so I'm sure some young, hip
now,
MTV...
Do they still get the golden popcorn?
They still get golden popcorn. It's funny. It's the one award where Daniel Day-Lewis beating Channing Tatum would be an upset victory, you know? And actually, Bradley Cooper beat them both, and he was nominated for an Oscar.
Really?
Yeah.
If Daniel Day-Lewis won, I would want him to go up and give the speech that Lincoln gives in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
The
finest portrayal of Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, MTV Movie Awards? I mean, I think it's just one of those, like, shallow money-making opportunities where you do an award show, it gets a lot of press.
Well, the publicists love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember being younger and watching it and thinking it was at least, like, a lot of fun. And now, and maybe this is just because we're all older, I turn it on and it just looks a lot of annoying noise and colors and hurts my head.
It feels very over-manufactured.
Is it one of those award shows where you can tell who's going to win based on who's in the audience? Like, which of the nominees are in the audience?
Well, Jennifer Lawrence won.
Yes.
She was not there, and it was a big issue because so much of the night was around Jennifer Lawrence, and they previewed the new Hunger Games Catching Fire trailer, which looks pretty sweet, by the way, I must say.
Yeah.
It does look good.
And she wasn't there, and it was kind of awkward the whole night.
Oh.
What's his name had to come out to present the trailer? Hemsworth Jr.?
Liam Hemsworth, the lesser Hemsworth.
Yeah.
The one that's not in Ron Howard's Rush, the Formula One film that's coming out this September.
I feel like, Jennifer Lawrence, everybody loves her now.
She's busy. She's making movies. She's got to make the fucking Hunger Games movie so you can all watch it. So
yep,
let her
that's
go make the goddamn
point.
Movie.
Yeah, she's busy. She's young, too. What is she, like 22?
Yeah.
That sounded creepy when I just said that. She's young, too.
Oh, right? Yeah. Thanks, Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know which award I'm talking about where you can tell
like
who's
people's
winning?
People's Choice?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, everyone else is absent except Will Ferrell. He's about to walk on stage to accept the award.
Now, there was a weird moment where Will Ferrell, he was given some sort of lifetime achievement, like Funniest Man in the History of History award, or some like crazy award.
Right.
And he was up there being funny because he's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And Aubrey Plaza, I don't know, did you see this? Aubrey Plaza.
I heard about it, though, yeah.
She tangerine bombed him or something.
She pulled like a Kanye, and she got up.
Yeah.
And she went on stage, but she didn't say anything, just tried to take his award.
Uh-huh.
And then he didn't let go of it. And then she went back to her seat and sat down. And Will Ferrell, I guess, trying to appease her, and someone was like, Aubrey Plaza, ladies and gentlemen. And the audience applauded, and she just kind of sheepishly sat there and then was escorted from the building.
That's Aubrey Plaza's entire personality is sheepish. Like, that's her essence, is just being... What, did it seem planned, though? Did he know it was coming or no?
Apparently it was not planned.
Oh.
But Will Ferrell apparently said that to try to make it seem planned because I think he wasn't sure what the hell she was doing.
He's a pro.
She had written on her, though, the hashtag in the name of her upcoming movie. She had written on her
really?
She also had a front row seat to this thing.
She's hot stuff.
She's MTV A-list.
That's such a dumb joke to make three years after that
Maybe
happened?
Maybe even more.
That joke was dumb 1 week after that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that was another thing where it was like, after that Kanye thing happened, it was like one day of like funny jokes about that, and then a year of like, please stop making jokes about this. Like, I'm done with it.
You remember at the Grammys? I think it was in 2006 when Bob Dylan was performing and some weird shirtless dude.
Before 2006, that was a long while.
That was which album was that?
I have no
Time
idea.
Out of it was a good
Bob
album.
Dylan
album. I'm kind of a fan of late Bob Dylan. He's gone to
but
some interesting places.
It was Soy Bomb.
That's what I'm talking about. Soy Bomb, not Tangerine Bomb. Soy Bomb.
And then one of my favorites was. And I think this might have even been still in the late 90s. Shauna Colvin won a Grammy. And she gets... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she gets up there, and Old Dirty Bastard runs up and grabs the mic while she's standing there, and he goes, Wu-Tang is for the children. It's for the children. And then he runs off and whatever.
And now he's dead.
And now he's dead.
So there's a long tradition of this type of gag in the award ceremonies.
Exactly. Except, I don't know. I mean, she must have been trying to make a joke. And in that case, I don't know why they would have scored. You know what? Aubrey Plaza can interrupt my speech whenever she wants.
Yeah. Amen.
Love you, Aubrey.
Oh,
come interrupt this podcast. Wander in. Yeah.
But actually, we have a surprise for you.
Aubrey, I'm sorry what I said about you being sheepish. I love you on Parks and Rec.
She's great.
And it's safety not guaranteed.
Matt, do you watch Breaking Bad?
I don't. I've not done it yet.
Moving on.
And I'm sorry. I apologize to you, and I apologize to everyone who's ever asked
me
that
question. And the fine people at the AMC network.
Yeah, I'm sorry, AMC. I know you're really counting on my viewership.
That show could have went on for at least 3 more seasons if only you had been watching, but instead it's ending this season.
I cannot apologize enough for what I've done to the TV landscape.
To the White household.
Yeah.
Well... Breaking Bad, there's a character on Breaking Bad called Saul.
Okay. Oh, I have heard about it. That's Bob Odenkirk. Yeah.
Terrific character. He's like the lawyer in his first...
He's a shiesty lawyer that operates out of the strip mall.
I love the line that Jesse has. You don't need a criminal lawyer, you need a criminal lawyer, and it's Saul. Well, this show is going off the air, and they're talking about doing a spinoff. Mm. On the Saul character, which one is a major spoiler alert. We know he doesn't die, I guess, in the final
But he could go to prison.
Yeah, but then how is he going to practice law?
Prequel. Boom. Right out of law school, fresh-faced, working at a big firm, white shoe firm.
Whoa, that could be...
David Kelly's already signed.
Well, they're thinking of doing a spinoff for this character, and I thought this was odd because you don't usually get spinoffs, especially for dramas, I think. I can't think of any, really. And also... What is this going to be? It's going to be a dark comedy.
There's a spinoff for The Sopranos. Every time your TV's off, that's the spinoff. No?
That's a rough one.
They can't all be winners. Sometimes even Babe Ruth had to bunt.
And I was thinking about this. I guess it's going to be a dark comedy if they do. And I guess it's going to be half hour, probably. But, I mean, we don't have a lot of dark comedies on television right now. I'm trying to
think. No, yeah, what would they be?
Well, like Nurse Jackie, I would imagine, or Weeds.
I haven't seen that.
I don't watch
them,
but
Wilfred count as a dark comedy?
Yeah.
I don't watch it. I don't know.
So there are dark comedies, you just don't watch them.
Or like Louie? Like, Louie's...
But I don't think...
We're talking about, like, violent, kind of like 6 feet under, like, some death in there and stuff.
I'm assuming, because Louie, I mean, maybe they deal with some heavy stuff sometimes, but it's done in a such a real feeling way.
But also, Louie is not structured. It doesn't have there's a fictional Louie, but it's not fictional. Does that make sense? Like, there's not a story to Louie. There's just shit happens, and you watch it, and sometimes you laugh, and then whatever.
Well, you watch Breaking Bad. Do you think a Saul spinoff could
I think work? So, because he's such a strong character and personality. I think the best way to do it would be to partner him up with someone that he could play off of. And then I would love to see Saul just getting his deadbeat clients out of scrapes every week and trying to... We don't know anything about his personal life. For all we know, he's married or he's got... Who knows?
I think here's how I envision it. Saul and Kelsey Grammer brings the Frasier character back for another spinoff of that.
Oh, for God's sake, Saul. Yeah.
Toss salads. There you go.
And then Joni loves Chachi. You know,
Saul and Chachi.
Yeah.
Saul and Frasier.
There you go.
You'd be like the Jeffersons. They were spinoffs.
Yeah, Saul's moving on up. He moves out of Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, moves to Santa Fe big time.
He gets a radio show with alongside Frasier.
That would be... Honestly, that would be the greatest show
in
history.
They should team him with David Cross, and they should do a show together.
Well, that's going to be part of Saul's character arc. He comes out of college, gets his law degree, and has to balance that with creating Mr. Show.
Or living with a never nude.
Yeah.
I think it's done. Green light.
We got to, honestly, Vince Gilligan should hire all three of us
Gilligan.
To start working on the show.
Vince Gilligan, if you're listening, we want the job. We're
Says
ready
the man
for
who's
it.
Never seen an episode of your show.
We'll split the pay three ways. Just give us the job.
Honestly, I that sounds like a deal to me.
Gilligan is friend of the podcast.
Yes. Yes. He's our biggest listener.
Well, very quickly on tangential. Stephen Colbert loves the Slate Politics podcast, and it comes up every Friday, and he actually made a surprise appearance on their podcast last week.
Oh, cool.
And he was saying that one week when the episode didn't come up on time, he got like, I want to listen, where the fuck is it? So he called David Plotz, he got in touch, and he called him and was like, yes, it's Stephen Colbert, why isn't the episode up yet? Like, he goes, yeah, listen, I got a show to put on, I like to listen to your episode on Friday afternoon before I do the show, where is it? He's like, oh, we went out late last night, we're sorry, we can email it to you. And so he's a huge fan, and they had him on as a surprise guest 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's great.
So Stephen Colbert, we always get our episodes up on time.
Matt, you're from Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, I know... In terms of the country, it's south. But would you consider it the south?
It's not the deep south. Deep south is like east of that, right? Yeah, I would consider it the south, but it's not like probably as backwoods as maybe like Alabama.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because it doesn't seem backwoods.
Right.
So I guess this is good to know going into this next segment.
All right.
There was a song put out last week, and it was called Accidental Racist. Have you heard this song?
I listened to it before I came here, actually.
What do you think?
Boy. Boy, oh boy. Well, I don't know if there's an official video, but I watched the one with the lyrics. And that song, first of all, it's 5 minutes long. It's 5 minutes long, and I just watched the lyrics scroll because I wanted to be able to like catch all the words as they went along. And it is an embarrassing. It's very embarrassing.
Well, for those of you who don't know and haven't heard this song...
Accidental Racist is a duet, or a, I don't know, collaboration between Brad Paisley, the country singer, question mark?
I think so, yeah.
And LL Cool J, the rap star,
the star
question mark?
Of NCIS Los Angeles.
Who used to be a rap star back in the day, and then...
Mama knocked him out.
Mama gave him a big-ass paycheck, and that's what he's doing now. So... I think this is a Brad Paisley song, and he invited his BFF, LL, to come sing some lyrics. And it's, I don't know, Will, do you want to give us some examples of some of the lyrics?
Well, here's the thing. The song is written, apparently, from the idea that, like, he was wearing a shirt with a Confederate flag on it, and a barista was like, that's racist. And I guess he thought it was accidentally racist.
Just fun.
Which, by the way, being an accidental racist still makes you a racist.
Yeah.
But there are such lyrics in it
accidental homophobe.
Yeah, or like accidentally killing someone with your car.
It's called manslaughter. We have a name for that.
Yeah.
Well, LL Cool J has such lyrics that he says, like, if you don't judge my gold chains, I'll forget the iron chains. Yeah. And this really pisses me off, because that's a total false equivalency.
Yeah, that's the whole problem with this song, yeah.
There is nothing, so, because you don't like someone's fashion statement, you'll... It's equivalent to, you used to chain up black people and make them work on plantations.
Yeah.
And here is my issue also with this song and the Confederate flag. And I'm sick of this. And everybody's like, man, it's just like pride in the South, pride in the South. They tried to secede from the Union.
Yeah.
Matt, if they had their way, you would never have been an American citizen. Which is going to be a whole other country.
Well, and the reason they wanted to do that was to protect the institution of slavery.
States' rights.
Let the states decide about slaves. That's what that flag represents. So you want to know what, Brad? It is fucking racist. It's not accidentally racist. It's fucking racist. The Confederate flag is racist. And if the South wants to embrace it, I'm sorry, the South, and for your sake, Matt, I'll say the Deep South. The Deep South is fucking racist, and that's why you, the Deep South, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Deep South, and Brad Paisley, and LL Cool J, and everyone else involved with this racist abortion.
Well, it also, that song, like, LL Cool J's involvement in that, I just imagine it being like Brad Paisley's publicist heard the first draft of the song and was like, Jesus Christ, we cannot just put this out there. We gotta have the counterpoint. We gotta bring someone else in here to, like, counterbalance this monster, like, horrifying thing you've just created. And then enter LL Cool J.
Yeah, we need some legitimacy. But what's he thinking? I mean, is he... First of all, does LL Cool J speak for black people?
No. I read an article that was, like, that was a part of the problem where it was, like, saying that LL Cool J speaks for all black people is, like, incredibly racist.
Well, maybe,
like,
20 years ago when he was, you know, a gangster rapper.
Yeah, sure.
From
but
Compton?
Also, like, no individual speaks for their entire, you know, population. You know what I mean?
And anyone who would be considered more representative of, like, let's say it was Jay-Z. Jay-Z would never do something like that.
Right.
Like, anyone...
Because Jay-Z's a little savvier.
Yeah, like...
No, Jay-Z's going to Cuba. He's starting his own shit. He's making his own flub. So maybe Jay-Z's not the best person this week to point out on racial sensitivity.
Yeah. It is interesting, like, growing up in Texas, like, the Confederate flag is just equated to rebelliousness in a lot of ways. But the problem with that is that, like... It would be like equating, like, the Nazi symbol to rebelliousness. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just take some terrible thing and be like, forget the past. Like, maybe in another 5,000 years it won't matter, but, like, it's been, what, 150 years? Like, there's still a lot of meaning built into that thing.
And also, I mean, it's even less removed from when, like, Jim Crow laws and things like that in the South.
The character from Dumbo?
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's been, I mean, so it's still, to me, like... Even as a white person, if I was in the Deep South and I saw a bunch of people with Confederate flags, I would be very nervous.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the whole song and his reaction, because I read his reaction to it, or he wrote this thing of, like, I don't apologize for this, and it's just, like, really representative of, like, the confusion in the South about, like, you guys, this is not okay to do this. You cannot keep doing this shit. I don't know.
You know what it did do? It put Brad Paisley in the national conversation, so good on him.
Yeah.
He's going to push some albums.
And honestly, I'm sure there's a ton of support for this song from country music. From Lake Jackson. They're eating the shit out of this song. I don't know if that's a phrase.
They just wish there wasn't that unfortunate collaborator in there as well.
Yeah.
Man, this song would be great if it wasn't for that black guy.
I only listened to the first 3.5 minutes of this song. I edited it on Rock Band to cut out the end.
Well, he also claims very quickly, he said that the Confederate flag thing is because of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Right.
So then Lynyrd Skynyrd was racist.
And you know what happened to them?
They died. Yeah, they died.
Well, the thing is, it's not even necessarily inherent racism. It's just, like, insensitivity
to something.
Well, it's
so loaded. That's the problem. Yeah. It's a loaded symbol.
I don't believe, like, Brad Paisley, if he wears a shirt with a Confederate, I don't believe for a second he's actually a racist.
Right.
But... there are, like, I mean, yeah, I can't walk around with a swastika on my
shirt.
Yeah,
exactly.
In Beverlywood.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. It's not gonna go well.
Yeah.
So, I just don't know any country that loses a war but gets to keep their flag, and that's what happened with the South. It's weird to me.
The South shall rise again.
You know, I'm gonna try to squeeze in another topic here. There was an auction... The other...
In the South?
In the South. And I'm not going to tell you what it was for, but you can guess what they were bidding on. But no, it was of Hollywood memorabilia. And a Star Trek phaser rifle that was only used in one episode.
Now, the rifle, not the little gun.
Not the little gun. It was only used in one episode, and I know the episode because I've...
Jim.
Because you own the rifle.
Because I own... Yes. Because I was the one who bought it for $250,000. This thing sold for $250,000.
For a 50-year-old piece of plastic.
Basically. A lot of other weird things sold. For example, they're like all lesser. Like a Superman 4 costume, not Superman 1. Superman 4 sold for $25,000. A bra from the film Some Like It Hot, worn by Marilyn Monroe, not Jack Lemmon.
Not lesser, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sold for $28,000. I think you were saying that should have gone for more,
it
you would
should
think?
Have, yeah. I mean, imagine what you could do with a bra that Marilyn Monroe wore.
Yeah.
I would dress up in that Superman 4 costume and go to town on that Marilyn Monroe bra.
Probably you think it still smells like Marilyn?
Like a dead Marilyn, though.
It's the bra she
died
in.
Or no, it's more
in.
Like a... Marilyn hopped up on benzoates and whatever the fuck else they gave her at that period in her career.
It's like, it's not the most memorable memorabilia. Do you collect anything? Are you a collector of anything?
Collected basketball cards when I was in fourth grade. That's it.
And kind of stopped there.
Yeah.
I used to collect baseball cards when I was younger.
I have started buying records. I bought a record player, now I buy records. And it feels like a huge waste of money, but I can't help myself.
Because the sound is so good, it's how it was meant to be heard.
But the thing is, somebody told me that newer record, unless you buy an old record, the newer ones are recorded digitally, so that doesn't even make a difference.
Yeah, so when I was in college, we had a record player, and my roommate and I raided our parents' collection, and we also lived right across the street from an Amoeba Music. So our whole philosophy was we would only buy or listen to a record that was recorded for record and was designed to be listened to like that.
So you were like a nerd loser.
Yeah, an analog nerd loser. But it's also fascinating, quick segue. When you listen to an album that you're familiar with, but you listen to it on LP, the side break, the way they decide which songs go in which order, is very much influenced by the need to have to flip the record around. So, for example, Led Zeppelin 4 has a completely different feeling when you listen to it on record because you get two different emotional journeys. But whatever. Back to your collection.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not letting that lie. No, unpack that statement.
But Matt, would there be a film? I mean, obviously, I assume you don't have $250,000 to draw on something. But I mean, until we get that job working for Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
But is there like a movie prop that if you could have, like if you had like if money wasn't an object, like would you be like, I need to buy the Batmobile or something like that?
Let's see here. I would take, I can't think of anything. I feel like there's a million good jokes here. I can't think of a single one. The vagina from Basic Instinct. I would just take, what's her name? Sharon Stone. I haven't seen that movie. I've just seen that clip a million times.
You've just seen her vagina.
Yeah, I've just seen her vagina. Yeah.
As a kid, you would watch and you'd pause to...
Yeah, you'd go to those, you'd see a preview clip of it on MrSkin.com. Yeah. Is that what it is? Mr. Skin?
Mr. Skin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, but yeah, I don't know, that's a dumb thing. That's a guy, I'm sure he's like, what would be sad if,
I'm
like...
I'm sure, honestly, you could get her vagina for a lot less than $250,000.
Yeah. What would be sad if that was his, like, only $250,000? Like, he dropped his entire life savings on a plastic gun.
The kid's college fund.
Yeah. Like, sorry, son, you're gonna have to take out loans. Your future
daddy
is ruined.
Like the unaired pilot
but
of
check
Star
out this
Trek.
Sweet gun I got. Yeah. But I think it's probably just like a huge, rich millionaire who can't think of it better things. Like, that's how much you lose your mind if you have that much money. What? You can spend $250,000 on
give it to us.
Gun.
Let us live off of it, and we'll make some
let us make
funny shit
Frasier
for you.
Saul remake show. Give us 250 grand. We'll make a pilot. I know Kelsey Grammer. He'll do it for free.
Sean, was there anything you would collect?
I would,
any,
you know
any a piece of memorabilia?
The kind of thing that I would maybe be interested in buying is original movie posters, classic posters, and having
frame, that'd be nice.
Things like that.
Classy.
Classy shit. Yeah. That's how I roll. Maybe I would want things like, I'm thinking things from like Fellini movies, and you know, like I'd want the sunglasses that Marcello Mastroianni wore at 8 and a half, or you know,
okay.
Or La Dolce Vita, or things like that. I don't know. That's where my head goes at. So really lame shit like that. But no, more like maybe stuff that was involved with the production, scripts with writing on it.
Yeah, that would
or,
be cool.
Or, you know, posters, production
yeah, I
things.
Would. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, iconic things, but I would probably take anything from any Kubrick film I could get my hand on, you know?
Sure, yeah,
well, you
yeah.
know, for example, very interesting, when they did Trainspotting, they shot at the same studio. In the scene when they're at the bar, they found a lot of the old sets from Clockwork Orange, and they used them in Trainspotting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you watch the scene when they're in the nightclub, and Spud and...
Is it like the Corova Milk Bar?
That's what it is. It's the tables that they're sitting
never
at.
I didn't notice that.
Go back yeah. and watch a scene where they go, what are you talking about? Shopping. What are you talking about? Football. That's in the Corova Milk Bar set.
I would like the Falcon from the Maltese Falcon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a nice prop to have because it's the stuff that dreams are made of.
I'd like the Falcon from Royal Tenenbaums, the actual living Falcon.
That'd be good. You should become a falconer if the comedy thing doesn't work. I want to have you on a year from now, not
as a falconer.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the falcon, with the hood, and the whole getup.
Before we go, I always like to end on a weird note. And there's a Dutch investor who is planning on sending people to Mars. Mm-hmm. The catch is, it's a one-way trip. He is going to send people to, I guess, live out the rest of mankind on Mars. It's 8 years of training, and then it's an 8-month trip to get there.
Wow.
But once you're there, they can't keep, because, you know, I mean, they'll, I guess, send supplies over time, but you just, they can't ever bring you back.
That's dumb. Everyone's going to regret that who does it, because that's an uncomfortable trip. Like spaceships, you're just like sucked into a little space. It's not like you get to go first class
you get
to Mars.
There. There's no Starbucks on Mars, people. No.
Yeah, I can't imagine who would do this. You wouldn't want to do it to become the funniest man on Mars.
Yeah, that's my new.
That's the name of the next comedy album.
Funniest Man on Mars. Or you could just go there and do a record a comedy album on your way there, and it would just be like slowly your mind degenerating as you lose your mind, like oh my God, what have I done? How long is a trip to Mars?
It's gotta
be years.
8 months.
That's your regret time.
Yeah.
And then you're there for the rest of your life.
But you're stuck in like the spaceship, I would imagine.
I guess so.
You gotta build. You colonize. You gotta start building. It's
I would imagine the rest of your life is
life.
Just however long the oxygen tank lasts. So it's not like they're going to send an 80-year-old man there who's, like, on his last leg. It's going to be a 35-year-old who's like, oh, my God,
you know,
I don't have 10 years here. I have a few more days because the oxygen's running out, and my comedy album that I'm recording, all the takes I'm doing is really sucking the air out of this tank.
It's the same asshole that spent $250,000 on a space rifle, a plastic space rifle. He wants to go to Mars.
Well, aren't we going to have to colonize Mars or another planet at some point?
Yeah, let other people do it. I'll be long dead.
But somebody's going to have to do this, so maybe this Dutch guy's got the right idea.
Sure. Okay.
Well, you know what?
Send somebody.
Someone at some Portuguese, Henry the Navigator, had to send some dudes in a boat and be like, just, you know, sail west till you get to something.
I guess now people, like, I mean, I guess there are people who'd be like, it'll be the adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that. But
it's
also going to be fucking boring.
It's interesting because, like, exploration used to be like Columbus. It was like, go find spices, bring spices back to our country. And now it's like, just go to Mars and die.
So we could say we were there.
Yeah.
I guess it all depends who else is going. Because, like, let's say Aubrey Plaza was going, maybe I would go. Because then, you know, I'd have sex with Aubrey Plaza until we die. You know, at least I got something
That's
out
the
of
only
it.
Scenario in which you would be able to have sex with Aubrey Plaza, if you were both rocketing to Mars headed towards your inevitable death.
I unfortunately assume that's the only scenario in which I could have sex with Aubrey Plaza. If you think otherwise, please tell me how to accomplish this.
You know,
guarantee her safety.
You want to know what would get us? You know what would know would get us colonizing Mars if they found out that Mars rock was an incredibly addictive drug that people can't live without. You'd see how quickly they'd start sending people to Mars and figure out how to get them home too.
This is all part of our Saul Frazier storyline. That's what Saul's new client.
Yeah, he's smuggling Mars rocks.
Pluto
from,
Nash.
There we go.
There you go.
So, Will, I signed you up for this, by the way.
I'm going.
Okay, 8 years of trading.
Who else is going? Who's going with me?
Ben Shapiro.
Ah, fuck that guy.
Zucker. And he's going to ask you how funny Airplane was.
Yeah. Well, Airplane 2 took place on a spaceship.
They went to a moon colony.
Oh, really?
That's Airplane 2.
The lesser of the Airplane films.
Yeah. Airplane 2, the sequel. Still, 10 times better than any scary movie.
Oh, you know what, by the way, real fast, this is how you know David Zucker lost his mind, because in an interview he said, oh yeah, they can make a new Airplane movie. It's like, no, Leslie Nielsen is dead, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Or a new Naked Gun. That's what it was, new Naked Gun. Yeah, the fact that the man thinks that they can replace Leslie Nielsen, maybe we should rocket him to Mars.
The man is hanging out in the men's room of the Egyptian Theater asking people if his film is still relevant. I mean, you are not relevant at that point.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of the best, though.
Speaking of irrelevance,
Matt.
Yeah.
I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Before we go, you know, plug again. Plug your stuff again.
Sure. Matt Ingebretson, Ingebretson. Follow me on Twitter. Find my website. And I run a show called Art Fuck and search Holy Fuck Comedy. Also, just go to Holy Fuck Comedy every Tuesday at the Downtown Independent. It's a great show.
Excellent.
And do you do other shows outside of that? Do you show up at Laugh Factory open mics? Or
yeah, I would say the best place to find, follow me on Twitter, friend me on Facebook, and I update about the shows I'm doing there. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Sean.
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. Also, like me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. My book is available for purchase and download on Amazon, Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, Triumvirs. Download it, read it, see what you think. And this may be a little last minute because this episode goes up Saturday morning, but Saturday night I will be performing an open mic comedy essay at the FET show at the Michael Wilson Theater right on the corner of Cassio.
The Michael Wilson
Theater? The Michael Wilson, yes. Right behind the Petco and the local State Farm Insurance Office, corner of Cassio and Robertson. And I'll be on stage somewhere between 8:01 and 9:59 p.m.
Another podcaster might be joining you for that.
Yeah.
He's in debate. You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I try to explain to Larry Minetti, the former star of Magnum P.I., the plots of complicated movies like Cloud Atlas in Looper.
When are you doing To the Wonder?
Yeah, I don't think I can bring up a Malick film. You can also read things I write about movies at youonecan.com. And you can come see me perform an essay on April 26th, a comedic essay about the one and only time I've been to a strip club at the Pez Show. That'll be on April 26th at 8 p.m. There'll be details on our Facebook page. You can also find go to the Pez Show's Facebook page and reserve a seat. Tickets are going fast. I'm performing with some great people, some former guests of the podcast, like Alex Alexander, who runs the show, and Alex Stein, very funny. You might remember him from the episode. He did the documentary on the Iditarod, a very funny guy.
Will Carrick Bartle be showing a preview of her new Alex?
That would actually be good. We got to bring that up to her. She's going to be there. So come. It'll be fun. Maybe even Andrea Marchant will be there. Who knows? On the show next week, I'm very excited to have this woman on, Denise Gossett. She is the director and co-founder of Shriekfest, which is a big horror film festival out here in Los Angeles. It's a great festival. I've actually been lucky to be part of it in the past, and I've wanted to have her on for a while to just talk about gearing up for this year's festival. She's taking submissions now, and she's great. It's going to be a very interesting episode.
Horror fans, tune in.
And the week after that, Sharon Houston is joining us. She's a very funny lady. And she has a podcast called Daytime Justice.
Yeah.
And you seem to know her.
I know Sharon. Yeah, I did a festival with her once.
So she's going to be a guest on the show. It's all so incestual, the comedy world.
She's a delight.
Yeah.
I like her. Yeah.
We met her at a reading I was doing of the same essay. And
oh, nice.
She was doing a thing there, and we talked, and she's coming on. So she'll be good.
Nice.
So, Matt, thank you again so much for
coming
on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And with that...
We're finished.
We're finished. We'll